Steve Spory. Come on in.
No, my God.
Wow, you got the headset. You're wow, you got it.
I'm like boy band right now.
I got the rest.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm Steve Spory. Yeah, it's all about him. That means not all about me, right? It's really good to be here. It's really good to be, first and foremost, really good to be your worship leader. I'm really proud of that title because it's something that, God has called me to. He's given me the gifts to do that, and he has allowed me to be here at a church. The desire of my heart for a long time was to find a place where I could be mentored, where I could be discipled. And through Pastor Carlos, that's what I got. And leaps and bounds, my life has changed ever since I stepped foot in this church 9 years ago. Wasn't always a worship leader. I wasn't always a great guy. I grew up here in this area, and for a majority of my life, and a lot of people know this about me, but there's a lot of new people at our church, so I think it's just important that I kind of tell my story so you know who it is leading you into battle. It's important to know who your leaders are. It's important to know where I come from and where my heart is on worship and how I feel about worship and how I feel about God. For a majority of my youth, up until the time I was 30, I was a drug addict and an alcoholic of the not-so-great kind. And, you know, I spent a lot of time in my life at the end there really contemplating just kind of ending it all. You know, I just didn't want to live anymore. It wasn't a journey I was willing to continue. And God really works in that brokenness. You know, God really calls you to different things. And here's one thing I will tell you. I don't call myself an alcoholic anymore, recovering alcoholic, recovering addict. I don't put those titles on myself. I'm a blessed child of God. I've been transformed. I've been redeemed. I am his son. So I'm Steve. I'm God's son. I'm God's kid. And he's proud of me. My family's proud of me. Most of all, I'm proud of me. You know, and it's good to see a redeemed life. And especially in leadership, because it helps you understand that all of us are exactly like you. I have the same struggles that you guys have. All of our struggles are our struggles, because we're not perfect, right? But we're trying. Some days are beautiful and some days are rough, but we get through them with the help of our Savior. You know, at the end there, I ended up in a rehab facility by my own choice, which was a good choice. I heard the voice of God for the first time in my life as I was driving to work. Just, what are you going to do now? And it just broke me. I mean, I just bawled. And I went into work and I went, you know, instead of walking to my desk, I walked to the vice president's office and said, hi, I'm a hot mess and I need to get out of here. And he was like, really? Yeah. So, you know, I ended up in a rehab facility and I ended up, you know, crying on the floor of a bedroom away from home. And the only words that could come out of my mouth were just, Jesus, please. It's the only prayer I knew, just Jesus, please, Jesus, please. And in that moment, I can only describe it as being filled for the first time, Holy Spirit really filling me and lifting me up. And a weird thing happened. I wasn't one that really believed in prophetic worship. I wasn't one that'd be like, yeah. You know, I grew up, you know, I'm a recovering Catholic. And then I was in a Lutheran church when I was younger in a traveling singing group because, frankly, there was girls. And Lord knows how to grab young men. And, you know, I the roommate that I have had at the time in rehab is still a really good friend of mine to this day. Our other two guys are no longer with us. You know, it's just what happens. But we just started laying hands on people. It wasn't something I set out to do, something I knew anything about. It's just, you know, find the tattooed burly biker and just be like, the Lord has something for you. And it wasn't even weird. They were okay. Sure. It was a weird experience, but it was a beautiful experience. And, you know, it's kind of funny. They gave us, you know, the AA books. And at the very end of it all, you know, people were signing them. Like, you know, it was like a high school yearbook, you know, have a great summer, stay off heroin. You know, very, very just odd. But at the time, it seemed like completely natural, like, yep, hags, good, you know. But, you know, I left there, and it's kind of where I started my journey of being a worship leader. I was at another church for a while, planted a church. Through all of it, I got to meet my beautiful wife, who is the absolute gem of my existence outside of God. It was God, my wife, my son, and me down here somewhere. But boy, God sure blessed me there. She's an amazing woman, and she keeps me grounded, and she gave me a beautiful son, and life is so good. You know, this picture here of this tree that has chains around it, I was listening to a worship leader speak, and he was on a farm, and he was hiking out back, and he'd forgotten that he'd had this beautiful hammock that they'd laid out, and they'd chained to these trees, and you know, it was all tore up now, and they hadn't been out there for a while. And they found these chains still around this tree, and it was just, the tree had grown, it was just tight, and just represents perfectly what a stronghold is. Okay, these strongholds in our life are chains that have been wrapped around us. And as we attempt to grow with the Father, it chokes the life out of us. And we can't grow any farther with these strongholds. We can't blossom into what God's called us to be unless we release these chains. And it's only through the power, the Holy Spirit, the power of the Father, Abba Father, that we're able to take these chains and really flourish and grow into the mighty trees that each and every one of us are, that branch out and touch the rest of the people in our lives. We can be rooted deep in it, but we cannot grow with these strongholds. Reminds me of, you know, the biggest stronghold in a lot of our lives is fear. You know, fear. Fear of things that aren't even going to happen. Not even going to happen. Fear to step out in faith because we don't know what's underneath that step. Reminds me of Jehoshaphat in the Bible, in 2 Chronicles. Armies surrounding him, all sides, three different armies. And the fear that must have gone through that camp of, like, what's going to happen? Jehoshaphat's a good leader. And he called for a fast. Let's concentrate on what the Lord has. Let's listen for his voice. Let's wait on the Lord. So that's what they did. And the excitement that must have happened when Zechariah's son said, I got a word. I've got the word. Where all focused attention is on that waiting, 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 waiting. The battle is the Lord's, is that word that comes. And the joy that must have been like, whew, good, it's not about me. You know, it's about the Lord. The Lord's going to do this. And it says that they had courage to face the enemy. Through hearing God speak, they worshiped him. And it says in the word that they worshiped him with very loud voices, which I love that that's what we do here. We get, oh, yeah. We get at it, okay? We get at it. And that's what it is about. We worship the Lord with a very, very loud voice. And in the morning, I can imagine, I just envision like these battle-hardened guys just ready to go out, like, yeah, yeah. And Jehoshaphat going, nope, 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 let's go. Give me the choir boys, you know. Give me the singers. Give me the worshipers. And he sends these men out to worship. And they sing, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. And in that moment, they praise the Lord. And he ensnared these armies and just decimated them, destroyed them. And I need to ask the Lord when I get up there, like, how did that happen? Like, show me the tape of that. I want to watch that. You know, show me that holy Netflix. I want to see that one. And what's awesome about it is in that destruction of the enemy, it says it took them 3 days to gather all the plunder that they had left behind. So it tells me that in every battle that we give to the Lord, he will be victorious and he will bless us beyond our wildest dreams. They return to Jerusalem in triumph, and they go directly to the temple, and they praise. They give God the glory for being victorious. And through this, 2 Chronicles 20:29 says, the fear of God came on all of the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, and God gave him rest on every side. We seek God, he speaks, he moves, he gives us rest. And we give God praise by acknowledging God for who he is. We give him thanks for what he's done for us. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 tells us to rejoice sometimes. Tells us to rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. We are to give thanks and worship God in every circumstance. Not for our circumstance, but in our circumstance. All of us have been in that situation like Jehoshaphat. We've been overwhelmed by the enemy. And Scripture says he was scared and God took over. You know, Pastor Carlos asked me to preach on a couple days' notice, right? And I find it not a coincidence at all that this is the week that it happened. Last year at this time, my wife and I were in Dornbecker Children's Hospital with my son, my now 2.5-year-old, and he'd been hurting for a long time, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. We had pediatricians telling us that it was constipation, and that was it. And oh no. You know, no, it isn't. And something inside me, which we know what it is, the Holy Spirit was saying, no, it's something else. So we pushed on, and we ended up with a diagnosis of spinal osteomyelitis. It's a rare spinal cord disease that only affects less than 1,000 people a year in the United States. And it was affecting my son, my boy, my heart, eating away at his spine. It's a deadly disease. I've never, ever experienced what I experienced this last year during this week. I never want to experience it again. But you know what? Never let a trial go to waste, right? Because I never want to face that again, and I don't have to. Brought me to my knees. And I had to give this, I'm a guitar player. I'm a singer. I am no nurse practitioner. They gave me equipment to give infusions to my son to this line that was connected right above his heart every 5 hours for an hour at a time, middle of the night. And I remember lying on his floor on my back with him on my chest and pumping this stuff into him and just holding him. And there's so many tears on the floor of his bedroom as I cried out to God and just held him. And then I was like, these are the chains. These are the chains around the tree. These are the stronghold. This is fear. And in that moment, I was able to release it. I lift my hands to my Father and sing. Not, Lord, what are you doing with my son? But just, Lord, you're good. You're good. We praise him in all circumstances, right? That's what we're called to do, not when the getting's good. Anybody can be there. Woo, got a new job. Lord, I lost it. I lost everything. I praise you, you're so good. Take him, he's your son. I learned so much that day because the next day I had to come here. I didn't have to. I got to. And lead worship in the hardest moment of my life. In that moment when I was crying out to God, I specifically heard him say, as loud gets, as you're holding him, I'm holding you. Steve, as you're holding him, I'm holding you. And I understood in that minute what the heart of a father is. How God feels towards me every moment. And he holds me. When I'm broken and bruised, he holds me. When we turn our attention towards God, our outlook on anything changes. God reveals who he is and we respond. And the only proper way to respond to that is worship. We respond to who he is and what he's done, right? Worship is to honor with extravagant love and extravagant submission. And we do that in three ways: inwardly, upwardly, and outwardly. The upward is what we do here as a congregation. We praise God, lift our hands, we sing praises. That's pretty much that's the easy one. That's the given. Inward worship is what we do when no one's watching. And that's the challenge. That's every thought. That's every word. That's driving in traffic and somebody cuts you off. No joke. That's the challenging one. This is the one we can't fake. God wants a broken and contrite heart. His word says he seeks out those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Without this commitment, all other expressions of worship are sickening to God. They're that clanging gong. Okay, in Revelations, he says he doesn't want a lukewarm Christian. He says he spits those out of his mouth. If you read the New King James Version, he says he vomits that out of his mouth. That's a picture. That shows how vile it is to him. The third most beautiful form of worship is outward worship. This is us taking part of his great commission, giving tithes, offering, serving God. Outward worship shows a heart of worship. A heart expressed through a lifestyle of praise and worship. A lifestyle of holiness in honor of the only one that is holy enough to reserve right to get it. Oftentimes when people hear worship, they think about, singing songs in church. I want to tell you, we do not sing songs here. And you need to hear that. We do not sing songs. We're here to respond to God. Respond to what he's done in each and every one of us. Respond to him in worship, in spirit and in truth. Worship in spirit and in truth comes from a sincere heart and lines up with the Word of God, right? Sincere heart, Word of God. And that's where worship is. Worth-ship. We have to know God to worship God. There's absolutely no honest worship of God without a right knowledge of who God is. How do we get this right knowledge? We're drawn to him by grace, and he reveals himself to us through the word. We come to his throne room by grace, or we don't come at all. We've received the gift of grace, mercy, forgiveness, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It's a gift, not an action or a deed. We do not create worship. We respond to God in worship by what we have received in Jesus. The world has enough rock shows. Okay? Your pastor believes firmly in this. And he instilled this in me from day one, from the moment I sat down with him and met him for the first time. That's one of the first things he ever said to me. And it's something I took to heart. When I arrived here at this church, I was to a point where I said, you know what? Give me a man that's going to teach me. And I will fall under that leadership and I will listen. And that's what I've done from day one. And it's made all the difference in the world. But I don't think God's looking down saying, you know what? Turn the fog machine on. Let's get some lights going. Okay? Let's make some t-shirts. You know, it's not what God wants. God's more concerned about who we become than what we do. Worship should always, always reflect what we've received. Worship reflects the attributes of God, His greatness, His grace, the tremendous blessing that each and every one of us has already received. It's about God and where He stands on our list of priorities. And I hope we're all seeing that worship isn't about us. We all seeing that? Are we tracking? I like to say that. True worship is a response to God's word. I can pinpoint the moment that worship changed in this house, and it started with OSL. That next weekend, after the first weekend of OSL, it was like somebody turned the crank, and worship just went because people started to gain a right knowledge of God. And when you know a right knowledge of God, you know how to worship Him. And it's amazing to see how that happened. Okay? God has to speak to us before we can even come close to speaking to Him. Unless we're a church that's reading the Word, we'll not know who or what we are worshiping. I've never once asked Pastor Carlo, well, maybe once. I won't say never. I've maybe asked him a couple times what he's preaching on. Okay? And it's by design. I don't want to know what he's preaching on. Not that I don't care, but I would rather seek the Holy Spirit and say, what is it that you want to hear? And when that happens and that gets downloaded into me and he's got something downloaded into him, and when those moments meet, we know that the Holy Spirit is flowing and working and actively seeking to change the atmosphere in this house. And when that happens, I mean, we've talked about it, we look at each other and be like, knuckles. God is good all the time. So those are the songs I seek out too. You know, a lot of people say, hey, this song, dude, this song's on the radio. No. Not that those songs don't have a place. What we seek to do here is praise God for His attributes. God is good. That's what we sing about. As Pastor Carlos calls them, country songs. You know, hey, I'm feeling down and the Lord came. And that's all about me. We want it all about Him. You know, so that when we are connecting to it, it's nothing but pure God. Worship is not a musical genre. It's a position of your heart. Okay? There's no Dove Awards for that. Okay? It's a position of your heart towards a loving Father. Michael Horton, who's a theologian and an apologist, has a perfect quote for this. It says, vagueness about the object of our praise inevitably leads to making our own praise the object. Praise, therefore, becomes an end in itself, and we're caught up in our own worship experience rather than in the God whose character and acts are the only proper focus. That'll preach. We're not here seeking a worship experience. We want worship to grow out of the relationship that we have with the Father. We want to be fruitful, not do fruitful. Worship out of delight for the Father, not for His delight. God does not require worship. He requires worshipers. Okay? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty since the beginning of time. He's got worship. And I imagine it's beautiful. He wants your heart. He wants worshipers. And that's what we want here. Transformative worship, connecting my heart with the Father. I know that music moves people. Man, we are first one to, Yep, play a song, I can tell you exactly where I was the first time I heard it. It's just how it is. It's a powerful thing. Satan was the greatest worship leader there ever was, right? I can imagine he had a beautiful voice. I can imagine he played amazing. There's danger in that, right? Me. I'll be the first one to say I battle it, okay? I'll be honest with you. I'm a musician. have been my whole life. That's a flesh. That's a flesh. My job is to take you there, to lead you out like Jehoshaphat's army, and then just disappear. And I'm working on it every day. I want you guys all to know that. And I struggle with it. And that's honest. But I know it. So I'll continue to work on it. See, there's a huge difference between being moved emotionally and being moved spiritually. Being moved emotionally, yeah, it's, you bet. Easy, easy, easy to do. Now, we want to be moved spiritually. We want to be life-changed. You know, the one thing that we pray for every time we step back there as a worship team is that people will be transformed. Because I believe you can walk through these doors as one person and leave as a totally changed person because of the power of the Holy Spirit in this place. That's what we're about. Transforming your life. We are not here to entertain. We're here to be part of God's big, great commission that transforms lives so that as you're transformed, the people around you are transformed. I know that people come in here and can be moved emotionally. And someone next to you is just like, yeah. I mean, you can feel them being touched by the Spirit. And then you leave and it's just gone. And I think that's just kind of riding on another person's breakthrough. You want to be the one that's transformed. You want to approach the throne room and say, me. That's where we want to be. Being moved spiritually changes you. That's the promise of worship. It's transformative. We offer God true worship, invite him to inspect our hearts for anything that is not of him. And the promise is that he'll commune with us through the Holy Spirit. Being moved spiritually is pure worship, and it will be what causes us to move from only worshiping upward into a true worshiper that's worshiping outward in every aspect of our lives and transforming those around us. And focusing on God is where that true worship begins. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. The truth is what we love the most is ultimately what we're going to end up worshiping. And I can worship my wife. I can. I can worship my son all the time. I worship bacon. Right? It's things you love. I mean, you can. I mean, that's funny, but it's true. Man, there's so many things that can just turn into worship that are just fruitless. Every choice we make is worship. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Every choice we make is worship. We choose to worship him completely. And we want to be a church that is a church that follows a lifestyle of worship. Everything we do, everything we are, we want to love God, honor him, worship him. With every breath we take, in every situation. And we're not going to be perfect, but boy, let's shoot for it. Whether we do this or not, Scripture says that creation already does it. Creation always cries out God's greatness. Psalm 19 says, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak. And night after night, they make him known. Like all of creation, we're called to give glory to God. Creation is limited to how it can communicate, though. God loved us so much that he allowed us the specific privilege of intelligent praise. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Amen. The Psalms are filled with examples of God's people declaring in particular ways what God has revealed about himself. Specifically, they praise God for his word, his worthiness, and his works. So if we're wanting to be true worshipers, we want to always look to Scripture, because rarely does Scripture call us to praise without giving us or spelling out why it is that we praise. Psalm 106:1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Right? So why are we giving him thanks? Because he's good and his love endures forever. Psalm 150, 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise him for his unequaled greatness. We give God the glory he deserves, and on and on and on and on and on. In just the gift of Jesus Christ alone, we should have an eternity worth of praise. Just in that alone. But we can always find more, right? Right? God's great, but can we thank him for giving us his word, his living word, his transformative word, the one that spells out his desires and his promises? Yes, he's awesome, but can we go deeper and see that he's so awesome he created a universe that is so vast that we can't even comprehend it? I tell you, as soon as I get there's a whole lot of questions I have, but one of them is going to be like, can you take me on the tour? Show me that thing they say that's a billion light years away, whatever that means. Show me that. I want to see that. He's so powerful. He moves planets. He does solar systems. He does weather systems, and on and on and on. Man, I was in that room when my wife gave birth. Like, wow, God. Mind blown. Amazing. His creation is perfect. Each one of us, you're beautiful, you're perfect, okay? The devil is a liar. Man, when God created us, it was dirty. Picked up dirt, molded us, breathed life into us, and dust still on his lips. He blessed us. And he blessed us in the Hebrew word for that is barach. To kneel and adore. We love because he first loved, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. God first. In everything that we do. God just wants to spend time with his kids. Man, he just wants to walk in the garden with you. And there he was on the seventh day of rest. He cleared his schedule and just said, I just want to spend time with you. Let's just walk in the garden. Let's talk. And there's the serpent. Shame, shame, shame. You're naked. And they ran and hide. Just deception. You know, Bill Johnson, one of my favorites, you know, said that we're an advancing people. We're an advancing church. It's like a football game. Man, we're just blowing through the enemy. No need to put protection on our backside because everything's back there. We're moving forward. Amen. And he said, you know, we've got the ball. We know the victory. And all the devil can do is stand on the sideline with a fake ball and go. And we're playing the game and we immediately turn and go, oh, he's got a ball. He's got no ball. He's got no power but the authority that we give him. Away. In the name of Jesus. Easy as that. Tangent. It's what we respond to in worship. It's God's power. God's grace. God's holiness. Not the music, not me, not the worship leader, not the musicians. We respond to his unmatched and unfailing attributes. We raise our hands in response to that. We raise our hands to be embraced by the Heavenly Father. Don't be afraid of this. This is vulnerable. Hey, we do this a lot in this church. Before I got here, I never did this. Now it's like, I can't help it. I'm driving. I'm like, hey, what's up? Touchdown. Okay. This is vulnerable. Who cares? I praise God. I lift my hands to him because of what he's done. In response, not only of our love for him, but more importantly, because of his love for us. We're made to do this. We're created to do this. I'll finish with this. Father just wants to spend time with his kids. My son Graham, he approaches me. He does that all the time. On his tippy toes. On his tippy toes. Let me be that before the Father. On my tippy toes. Me. Me. Abba, me. 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 Let it be me. Pick me up. Put me in your lap. Speak that love to me. Tell me how much you adore me, Father. Spend time with me. I'm on my tippy toes. I didn't teach my son this. Okay? This is instilled in each and every one of us. Not because he loves me. Because he understands how much I love him. That's what he gets. That's tippy toes. Let us be that, church. Let us be that. In every situation. Abba. Me. It's all he wants. It's all he wants. And he's not sitting here going, I'm going to crush you because you didn't. He's waiting. With love to transform you, to do things in your life that you cannot do yourself. I understand, I'm a singer. I love singing, always have. I understand that not everybody loves to sing. I get it, I really do. But there's 400 plus verses in the Bible. I'm gonna bring scripture home, here we go. 400 plus verses in scripture that talk about singing. So what does that tell you? Debbie?
It's important.
It's important.
He also says make a joyful noise.
Absolutely. Noise. He does. And we do that all the time here. God wants us to sing because he sings. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
Oh, scripture. Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm your fears, and he will rejoice over you with joyful song. Let me challenge you on this. As you go to sleep tonight, turn off all the junk. I like to listen to worship music in my ears as I go to sleep. Sometimes I just need to just clear it. And in that silence, turn your affection towards the Father and listen for his song. Right? Fall asleep in that search for his voice. He's going to speak to you. You know, our voices have been redeemed. You know, God's got amazing auto-tune. Everything is beautiful that comes from a sincere heart. You're free to worship here. Let me tell you that. You're free to worship in spirit and in truth as long as it's about him. And it's not about look at me or listen to me. Man, dance. You can dance if you want to, right? As long as your heart's right. It's what God wants from us. So the question is not, do I have a voice or can I sing? The question we want to ask is, do I have a song? And I believe we have a song, right, church? The answer is yes on that. I heard a song today that just kind of fit in. And I've played it like twice now. But I'm going to sing it over you because it just kind of says what I want to say. And we'll finish with that. I just want to sing it over you. And then I just want to pray a prayer of blessing. And just thank you for the opportunity to lead you. I take it very seriously that God's called me to this house. I'm here. I'm not leaving. You know, I told my wife another church could offer me $1 million. I'd never leave here. ever. Ever. I'm here. God's called me here. You know? God's called me to be under this man, and whom I love dearly. I mean, you guys have changed my life. Through their listening to the Spirit, and because of who they are, but because of the God that they serve. And that's just a taste of how good God is. He sends the right people into your life, and he's able to transform you if you allow it. So my prayer for everyone is that you just allow it. Get out of God's way. Let him do what he wants to do in your life. And quit telling God, quit jumping up on the potter's wheel. Okay? Quit jumping up there and saying, you know what, I'm a blue vase and a pretty handle and flowers. And just jump up there as clay and let him do what he's going to do and make you beautiful and be the person that you're called to be in Christ Jesus. Let go. Let go. It's free. Take the chains off. Call it a day.
You knock on the door of my heart, and I will let you in. I will let you in. He made me a covenant of love, and I will walk with you. Yes, I will walk with you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. Your love has made a way. We say yes, God. We accept the invitation to your love. And we say yes, God. You and you alone can have it all. Lead me by waters that are calm, and I will follow you. I will follow you. You take the sin and sing over us, and I will dance with you. I will dance with you. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid anymore. Your love has made a way. We say yes, God. We accept the invitation to your love. Yes, we do, Lord. We say yes, God. With you and you alone have it all. Oh, have it all. I made up my mind. Got no more excuses, so we open the door and let you in. I made up my mind. Got no more excuses, so we open the door and let you in. I made up my mind, got no more excuses, so open the door, let you in. We say yes, God, we accept the invitation to your love. We say yes, God. You and you alone can have it all. We say yes, God. We accept your invitation to your love. To your love. We say yes, God. You and you alone can have it all.
Let's stand. Let's bridge the eyes. Let's do some hand holding because we're family. I just want to pray a blessing over you. Just take a minute to position your heart. To be on your tiptoes. To see the Father reaching down. Lord, I declare blessing over each and every beautiful son and daughter. Created holy in your image, God. Even in the garden, as they ran away from you, in another garden, God, there was one that did not run away, but hung naked and said, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." And let us remember that sacrifice. That, Lord, your Spirit would well up so deep inside each and every beautiful son and daughter in this room to be transformed, God, into your perfect, perfect image. That strength and courage would so arise that this would be the day that each one looked back on and said, "I've been transformed. I've been redeemed. No more will I live in the past. My chains are dropped. No longer will I walk by flesh. I walk holy in your Spirit, God. Me, God." Each and every one cries out, "Me, God. Me." And your answer has always been, "It's always been you." Open up your heart and let me in. Open your mind and hear my voice. Stop listening to the world. You are beautiful. You're wonderfully made. I am your Father. I'm so pleased. Thank you, Father, for this time we've had together. Thank you for using broken people. Thank you for being a voice. We pray these things in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.